Welcome back to Exodus chapter 13 today, as the Israelites have a moment to rest. They've just left Egypt, 600,000 men plus families, out of bondage and into, well, they're headed for the promised land, but right now they've set up camp at a place called Sukkoth, Tent Town. For the Israelites, it's the border between past and future.
I think that's called the present.
Well, sure, but my way sounds more dramatic.
All right, then. So what are they doing at this mysterious border between past and future?
Good question. In chapter 13, they're getting directions from God. And a big part of their journey into the promised land will be about that, God's directions. And here, the Lord directs them to remember the past as they head into the future.
It's amazing sometimes how easy it is to lose the hard-earned lessons of our past. But we need those lessons for the road ahead. For the Israelites, they need to know that they were rescued by a mighty hand and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
So to make sure they never forget, God gave them memorials, days of celebration and commemoration every year. We saw that already in chapter 12.
And chapter 13 gives us two more memorials, beginning at verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate to me every firstborn male. The first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether human or animal."
The consecration of the firstborn. We'll come back to that. First, the Lord has another memorial. Verse 3. Then Moses said to the people, "Commemorate this day, the day you came out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, because the Lord brought you out of it with a mighty hand." So God wants his people to remember the day they were saved and this day, their first day out. And so, the next feast begins literally the day after Passover.
It's called the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and just as the name suggests, the Israelites were to eat nothing containing yeast. Now, for those of us who enjoy fluffy bread, this might seem like an odd thing to celebrate.
7 days of crunchy sandwiches.
Now, hold on now. There's a lesson here, something that God doesn't want Israel to forget. In verse 4, Moses reminds them, "Today, in the month of Aviv, you are leaving, when the Lord brings you into the land." Now stop there and you'll notice that this is all about leaving and entering in. Today, you are leaving. Soon, you'll enter in. But don't forget the one who brought you out.
So Moses says, "Observe this ceremony in this month. For 7 days, eat bread made without yeast. And on the seventh day, hold a festival to the Lord. Eat unleavened bread during those 7 days. Nothing with yeast in it is to be seen among you, nor shall any yeast be seen anywhere within your borders."
So why no yeast? Well, when the Israelites left Egypt, they rushed out in such a hurry, they didn't have time to leaven the morning bread. Ever made bread? Leavening takes time, and they just had to go. So they whipped up some dough, packed what they could, and hit the road. When they arrived in Sukkoth, they started fires to bake the dough, but no yeast. And God wants them to remember that story and tell it to their children.
In verse 8, "On that day, tell your son, I do this because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt." Kids are curious. They're going to ask why the bread is crunchy. So tell them what the Lord did for you. And what a reminder for us. Tell your children the story of what the Lord did for you when he rescued you.
The picture here is a beautiful one for us too. Just as soon as we're saved, we're on a journey. Our destination is not of this world. Get up, get out, and get moving. But what does the unleavened bread mean? Well, in the Bible, leaven is a picture of sin.
Are you saying I can't eat my sandwich?
No, leaven itself is not sinful, but the way that leaven spreads through dough is a great picture of the way sin spreads through your life.
I actually knew that. I just keep thinking about sandwiches. But this picture is essential. The removing of leaven here before the feast is a picture of sanctification. Jesus not only forgives our sin, he cleanses us from sin, clears it out. We're headed for heaven. We don't have time for sin.
The celebration was 7 days, and seven is the number of completion, a finished work. And just so, God will sanctify us through and through until the work is done and the sin is out.
And we need to remember that. The Israelites need to remember. In verse 9, "This observance will be for you like a sign on your hand and a reminder on your forehead that this law of the Lord is to be on your lips. "For the Lord brought you out of Egypt with his mighty hand." I love that picture. A sign on your hand. In every endeavor you set your hand to, working, writing, helping, remember that he saved you and he is cleansing you. A reminder on your forehead, at the forefront of your attention, and for all you see, remember that you are redeemed and you are his.
Now, Christians don't celebrate unleavened bread, but we do have communion to remember Jesus and to tell our kids why we do this, why we clear out the sin, and why we live for him.
Then in verse 11, Moses returns to the consecration of the firstborn. "You are to give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. All the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord."
And not just the livestock, the firstborn sons among the people belong to God as well, and the parents were called to redeem them with the sacrifice of a lamb, every family, every generation.
Again, the picture relates to Passover. It was the firstborn sons who were spared when the death angel passed. And in their culture, every firstborn son would lead the family someday, and each one represents the beginning of a new generation. And so, redemption is passed on to each new generation in every family. Salvation by the blood of a lamb was meant to be passed on.
In verse 14, "In days to come, when your son asks you, 'What does this mean?' say to him, 'With a mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery.' And in the same way, we tell our kids that we were bought with a price, the blood of Christ. And again, it will be like a sign on your hand and a symbol on your forehead."
As the chapter ends, the Israelites are on the move again. And verse 17 tells us that God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. So God wants them to take the long way home. And there's a reason for that.
Wait a second. You're not quoting classic rock titles again, are you?
No, it's a saying. Take the long way home. Besides, who would recognize Supertramp?
Okay, good. Just checking.
Give a little bit of slack, my friend.
Chris?
So God leads on the long way. The direct route would be about 1 or 2 weeks. That's it. But the Israelites aren't ready yet. There are battles ahead. And the Israelites need time to build their trust in God and learn to follow him.
And as the Israelites moved from Sukkoth to Etham, on the edge of the desert, verse 21 says, "By day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night."
I love this. Picture it. Everywhere they went, the Israelites had the presence of God leading them. A massive pillar of cloud by day, giving shade in the hot desert sun. A pillar of fire by night, giving heat and light in the dark desert nights. This is their preparation, simply learning to follow God's lead and know that he is with them. Etham means with them, and the pillar never left its place by the people.
And so the Israelites have reminders that the Lord has rescued them and the Lord is with them. Exodus 13 on Through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.